This is the second day of the February 2014 7-day retreat in Springwater. In Springwater today, the sky looks so wide, so empty, so blue, so clear, and the sun so warm. Rejuvenating. Warming up the cold limbs. And the snow bright, glittering. Everything lit up. The air so fresh, so clear. It just occurs, there's places in the world where people have to wear masks just to go outside the house. What luck. Good fortune to be able to breathe. To walk in the open air. What percolated up there were several words, maybe not questions, but words that were heard and that are remembered from the group in the private meetings. One was images, another was stories or story, and awakening. Maybe that wasn't the word that was used, but awakening, waking up, enlightenment. What came to mind that around these words very strongly was a memory of a quotation, a somewhat simplified quotation of Dogen's, one that we've talked about before, but it's so complete. Dogen was a Japanese Zen master, teacher, student. Who went to China to learn more about sitting, I remember one story was that he took to task the cook that he met at the monastery. How can you sit enough? You have to cook all day. A kind of a story he told on himself. To bring out this matter of assumptions. Jumping to conclusions and thinking that there's only one way to this opening. Actually, it may be going too far to say that there's any way. But anyways, the quotation. Or an approximation of the quotation. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to become enlightened by all things. Saying that, repeating that, it does sound like it's very step by step what he's proposing. I wonder, could it be all at once that studying the self, forgetting the self, awakening are not separate things? Well, we can look. And I don't know where it's going. But it did strike me that this studying the self is really studying the images and the stories. Maybe there's another self besides the images and the stories, but that's something to be discovered. But mostly looking here, carefully, with some interest, and maybe not trying to reshape what's seen into a new story. What's discovered are layers of images, or images that clash with each other. The image of what I should be, what I am, what other people see me as, what I see other people as. Kind of like the puppet theater that we talked about yesterday. The good puppet, the not good puppet. We're all of those puppets, in thought, in describing myself, and going along with the description. But the babies watching the puppet show, I can't say for sure, but I wonder if there was the image building, it was at a very primitive or early stage. The faces were too at ease. There wasn't that sense of conflict, struggle, that living up to an image brings. I remember encountering a book some years ago, a helpful book for parents, helping your child to develop an image of himself or herself. Not just a good image, but a sense of identity. It's felt to be essential. Maybe especially in this country, where we so strongly emphasize the individual. The self-made person. Actually, this expression was the self-made man. That would be the image for the man and the woman. Maybe had a different image. And so we play and we try to adjust the images as we become more progressive. But we still live in the images. And the reflection of the image. How you see me, or how I think you see me. You're not seeing my good parts. My intelligence, my capacity. And I have to show you, demonstrate. So studying this world of images, we could just go on and on. It's endless. The brain is so creative, or whatever it is. That produces the thoughts that are taken to be facts. And the word image is so neat because especially in the digital age, it's clear. It's so transparent, so put together. So evanescent, so non-substantial, and yet it feels solid. And yet, in looking at it, it's like trying to grasp air. Yet there's really a serious consideration, a pausing. One of the many images. I'm a good person. And it's important that people see that. But to stay with it. Somebody said in group yesterday, I'm capable of anything, given the right circumstances. Actually, I don't think people really care that much about us. All of this work to maintain the image, and all of the work going on with the other and the other, it doesn't leave us much room for communion, for getting together. Maybe getting together when we agree. And one form of this agreement can be I agree with you that so-and-so, the third person, is the cause of our problems in our family, on our staff, in our workplace, in our society. In our politics, religion, we can temporarily come together around a common enemy, around the image of the enemy, the face of the enemy. And we enhance that image, work on it. It is so tempting, so intoxicating, because then I'm off the hook. It's somebody else. And I don't have to look at what's happening here. Not as soon as I say that, it sounds like in a critical way or in a beating oneself up sort of way, but just to look what's here. And maybe I am the enemy. The same wanting, needing to be seen, to be someone. The longing for attention and affection. Which expresses itself in so many different ways. Or I say I have no images. No stories. I'm free from prejudice. There's clear seeing. One of our neighbors works at an animal shelter. And one of the problems they run into is that people don't adopt, and this is generalizing, but just by percentages, black dogs. So she takes home, she's allowed to have four in her negotiations with her husband. So she has four dogs that she fosters, or maybe one or two that stay there. And I didn't really, when I went out to adopt a dog, I hadn't heard this. And I came home with a blonde. And it was surprising, but really looking at it carefully, I'd gone to one shelter where there were all these kind of woofy black dogs and just walked away, assuming that they were going to be aggressive. I don't think it was said in so many words. And so to say, oh, this isn't happening here. I color, you know, that been into civil rights all my life. This is impossible. Actually, one of our relatives had a huge black dog. He was just the kindest and the gentlest. Totally inoffensive. He was never on a lead, and he was an urban neighborhood, but with yards. And they would let him out in the yard, and he would never go out of his yard. And he got to know everybody passing by. And if he wasn't there, or when he died, people stopped to ask, where did Titus go? He was an ambassador for huge dogs, huge black dogs. If the clinging to the idea that I don't have images isn't overwhelming, then it's really wonderful to discover this happening. Because the discovery can be the ending, right in that moment. When it's just kind of running secretly underneath. Then it runs. We can't really say good or bad, but there's just something very energizing about the discovery. I don't like this kind of person. They remind me of my whatever, father, mother. And so I react to the picture that I carry. And the story is part of the justification. There's the image, and then there's a story. There's more evidence gathered about why they are the way they are and why I am the way I am. And that story enforces the sense of separation, the barrier, the difference. It's cartoonish in the media, especially in some parts of the media, where either subtly or grossly stereotypes are perpetuated. Gone over and over. Again, it's endless. Or is it? Can the ending be right here? So Dogen called it studying, I would say listening, with all the senses, in a kind of stability of listening, where it's not so easy to be knocked over. Even by one's own PR machine. One's own image making, image believing, story spinning, that the unknotting of the tight knot of the ball of yarn or the tightly woven story is not piecemeal or over time, but this whole thing, the whole of it can be seen in a glance. In the spaciousness. Of no prejudice against discovering the prejudice, of discovering the story. One of the dangers of talking this way or any way is that as soon as we start to investigate, especially when we're talking out loud, we're talking to ourselves, there's immediately a shift to should or shouldn't. Stories are bad. Images are bad, shouldn't have them. And that kills the investigation, the study, the learning. But just, what is this? It's amazing how the brain, whatever it is, the brain, the body, the brains, the bodies work. Not even needing to individualize. Because that's the other jump. These are my images, my stories. I shouldn't have them, or I need to keep them. Or can they just be thoughts that accumulate, coalesce, and become a story, and that can empty, dissolve. Easily. It can be another story that I'm stuck. It's going to be forever. It's going to be 10 years. I almost want to say, don't believe anything. Anything that thought says can be challenged, wondered about, stayed with, felt, and let go. Easily. Not pushing it away, just thoughts coming up, leaving and coming up. Is that this forgetting? One thing I wrote down and came up in a meeting last night. Again, something that Tony said with some frequency. See if I can get it right. That there can be a tendency and maybe she used the word danger, I can't remember. A tendency or a danger become fascinated with oneself. In this great sort of marriage of studying the self, forgetting the self. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. Not take up a new career. Of me and how I'm getting better or worse. Or I'm still this or I'm still that, I'm still caught up. That's just new chapters to the story. Not that new, actually. The story kind of loops around on itself. Just writing. Thinking. Focusing. On what? A series of images. And we do like stories, especially with a good ending. So it's a bit of an experiment to see if it's possible to forget. Or maybe there is the forgetting, and one just suddenly notices one day, oh, this just isn't so important anymore. Somebody said in the group yesterday, the difficulty with changing, with taking a risk, is that one of the difficulties, or a possible difficulty, is that others may be uncomfortable or want you to change back. So it's in this becoming less interested, less fascinated. So somebody asks you a question about your past, I don't remember, it's not that important. It's okay. But maybe there's a little disappointment in the other person. They want to fill in the story. That too can be seen. Do we want the story? Because in the story I'm going on. I'm becoming, progressing. So is it possible to be comfortable, to be at home with not knowing? Not knowing the story. Waking up to what's here and not knowing what that is. Not needing to label. Start again, to make a new religion. Just, what is it? What is this? And listening. Aware. This vast blue sky, clear, sparkling snow, a warm room, and the talk here.